was filled with pride. Angels don't show up for everything. Me and the boys ran like they said, made our way to Bethlehem, and there we saw the first manger scene. Out of breath when we arrived, Joseph looked a bit surprised, doing his best just to keep her warm. Mary lay there with a smile on her face, tired little wife with a touch of grace, as she held a baby in her arms. And she said, would you like to see my baby? Would you like to see your king? And she said, would you like to see my baby? He's Lord, and he's God of everything. No one there could ever deny something special in those babies' eyes that caused this shepherd's heart to skip a beat. I always knew that God would send someone to pay for all our sins. I never thought I'd be kneeling at his feet. When a boy gazing at his face, right there I found amazing grace, and I cried out, God, have mercy on me. My life's never been the same. There's just so much he's rearranged since the day that Mary said, come see. And she said, would you like to see my baby? Would you like to see your king? She said, would you like to see the baby? He's Lord and he's God of everything. And she said, would you like to see the baby? Would you like to see your king? And she said, would you like to see the baby? He's Lord and he's God of everything. He's Lord and he's God of everything.
Go back to a scripture that was in Sunday school this morning when John's daddy goes back to that name, you know, a little simple thing. What are we going to name him? What are we going to name him? He couldn't say a word. First words he was able to get to say was John. Now you got to think about that. Me and you, we've never seen the Lord with our physical eye. We only get to see him with a spiritual eye. That's kind of hard to understand, ain't it? But by only seeing him in a spiritual eye, okay? But one day, our eyes will be able to see. Even a blind man that hadn't seen a thing, wouldn't that be something, the first thing you, boy, that'd be good. Now, what it does, we'll get to the message in a little while, but what it does, it gives you a reason to shout. Now I'm not a shouter. I wished I was, but I'm not. I'm a hollerer in the songs. I like to sing, all right? But I'm not a shouter. I wished I was. But one day, I shall be. All right? I shall be. Called. There's a scripture that talks about it in the book of Revelation. Now let me get back and I'll get over here to where we need to get. But let me share it with you this. One day when we call His name, it'll be because of our eyes seeing Him for the first time. And we'll be able to shout with a shout that the Scripture talks about. Because all of our troubles is all going to be gone. All of our things that we go through down in this life are going to be so minute, we're going to forget those things. The Scripture said them former things are going to pass away. I'm thankful to be able to call His name and to be able to call it for the first time because I see Him face to face. Man, boy, that's real. He's in a baby. We like to talk about it right now. But boy, we'll see Him as a Savior of the world for the first time. Whoa, that's good stuff right there. Well, let's go on. The book of John. Turn your Bible to 6th chapter. I like to talk about Him because He sure once reached down His hand, saved an old sinner like me. And if He hadn't saved my soul, I'd be in hell already. Think about that. Because there's no way God would have let His mercy be extended to an old sinner. And if you're here today and lost, God loves you to extend His mercy to you. And if the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, you got an opportunity to change your location from hell to heaven in that quick a time. The book of John, chapter number 6, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him. I want you to hear that. They were following. I don't know how, don't know why, don't understand that part. But listen, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. That meant where they had been, they saw Jesus doing things that no man can do, all right? And they were being healed. And as they were being healed, the crowd got bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, verse 3 says, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the words. I thank You, God, for the privilege, God, of knowing that one day we got a better place to go. And I pray, God, today that You'd help us today. God, move upon the hearts. God, move upon somebody here, God, that don't know You in a free pardon of sin. Oh, God, their soul is in trouble right now. What they're facing, God, I once was there. And God, I thank You that I've been set free only by the blood of Jesus. And I pray, God, You help us today. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Bible said He had saw all those things that began to happen. People were healed right and left. Now, if we went to church for healing, you know, if that's what we went for, well, we'd be in trouble here, really. We really would. We don't have a lot of healers out there that I would depend on to come in here and trust and take care of it. Because I may not have a lot of outward things that's wrong with me, but I got a whole bunch of inward things wrong with me, all right? And only the Lord can take care of that. Man can't take care of that. I'd like to be able to stop my bad talking, you know, and say, well, I do all kinds of bad talking. Oh, I'm a thief. I'm a crook. I'd like to be able to stop all that. But I can't stop all those things. Only the Lord can stop those things. It's amazing whenever you get saved, you pass from death unto life. And God can forgive you of all your sins, all your bad talking, your bad ways, and all your bad things you do. God can take care of that all at once. Now, if I was one of them faith healers to come along and help me out, I'd probably be in trouble because they're not no count today. Only the Lord can do those things. But now, they folks was following, and they was following the Lord, and He goes up into a mountain. And now, watch the words. You, if you didn't read it and watch it, you need to watch these words. The Bible said He went up to a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples.
And there he sat with his disciples. Now that don't mean like much. You ever been around somebody that's very important? Now, I'm talking about real important. When you're around real important people, most of the time they're in a hurry because they are so vital that they don't have time for you, because most of us are nobodies, all right? I don't see a somebody in here, right? You know what I'm talking about? We're nobodies in this world. The somebodies of this world might be in Washington, or they might be in Montgomery or someplace like that. But most of the time, they got a schedule that's so filled, almost every minute of their day is just kind of occupied. And if they was to come by, man, they wouldn't have time for us nobodies, would they? But here's Jesus, the somebody of the world, all right? If there's none greater, there's none bigger. And when Jesus was coming with his disciples, he could have said, "Now, boys, we got all these folks. Just look yonder. We got all these folks." But you know what Jesus did? He took time to sit with his disciples. Now, you ever been around somebody that has a lot of knowledge? Now, smart people I don't mind listening to very long, okay? But smart folks... Now, Jesus had the intelligence of the world. He whenever you create it, you know all things about it, okay? And when God created the heavens and the earth and he put all the things that's in it, if anybody knew anything, Christ knew everything. There's not a thing that he didn't know, all right? He's sitting there with his disciples. Now, his disciples was ignorant folks just like me and you are. Now, what would you do if you had just a few minutes to sit with the Lord? Now, I got news for you. I've been around some pretty intelligent people in my day. Now, I'm not talking about in the professional world. They just as dumb as I am, okay? But I'm talking about, have you ever been around somebody that had a little bit of Bible knowledge? And when you're around those folks, have you ever asked them a question? Say, not out of trying to show your intelligence, but trying to pick their brain to see what they know. And whenever you be around some of God's people and they share, some of the greatest lessons that I've learned in my life has been around some of God's people, listen to tell the stories that God has helped them with through their life. And when God helps you in your life, all of a sudden those things become strengths to them. In fact, let me give you something, and if we'll have time, we'll share it. Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When a person that has, as an older Christian, you might say, or a knowledgeable Christian, or a Christian that's been through the battles of life, sometimes when they share things, they speak through the eyes and the mouth and the being of faith. In other words, when you went through something, you come out, if you went through with the Lord, you come out on the other end a whole lot better. And when you come out on the other end a whole lot better, you speak through the mouth of faith. Because you went through it, God's been through there with you and went every step of the way. And when you go through those things, you share those things and it becomes strength to others. So these disciples were there with the Lord. And they could have asked a question. It's not recorded anything. But all of a sudden, the topic of Jesus is this. Here's all these folks coming, and here's what he says to them. The Bible says in the same chapter, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, verse 5, and he saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, poor Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, poor old Philip was like me and you. Poor old Philip reaches into his pocket. And he don't go in that front pocket where he keeps that loose change. He goes right back there in that billfold and he opens it up and he says, whence can we buy bread for these? If he looked in his billfold and he had a whole bunch of money, boy, he'd say, well, I got the money. No, no. You know what Philip does? He looks and he sees all the folkses. He looks, and just to save you time, there was about 5,000 men, okay? Not counting them women and children. Now, I don't know how you hide 5,000 people, but you really can't hide 5,000 people. And Philip looks out and he sees all them folks. And when you see all them folks, I don't know where your faith is, but your faith is not high on that totem pole right there. All of a sudden, the Lord is asking you, how are we going to feed these folks? We ain't feeding these folks. We have got no clue how to feed these folks. We are helpless in feeding these folks. Lord, don't look for me to help you in this situation. Lord, you're on your own. You see, this is how we are. We come to the Lord, and the Lord has every reason to ask the questions, but we have every answer that is wrong. You ever come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I want to do? You ever come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is how I want to handle my problems? Lord, this is exactly how I want it done. And if the Lord don't do it that way, we think, well, what in the world is the Lord doing? Well, just hang with me just a moment or two. Jesus said, Philip, how in the world? We need to feed these folks. Now, Jesus knew that they were hungry. Now, how did he know that these folks were hungry? How did he know? Well, you say that's a natural course of the body. We're always hungry. I'm telling you, we always eat, but we're always hungry. But why did the Lord bring this up to his disciples? Man, every one of us can look and say, well, this is the story about that lad that had that lunch. Well, no way. The Lord knew their need before they were ever hungry. The Lord knows your need before you ever know your need. Before you ever open your mouth to pray, God knows what you're going to be praying for. I'm not talking about these little lay me down to sleep kind of prayers. I'm talking about when you really need God on your side and you need to hear from God. You ought to be the first to say what's on your mind, but God is already ahead of you and he's already looking your direction, and he comes out and he says, hey, Philip, what are we going to do? Sometimes God has to really get our attention. And to get our attention, we got to see the needs of the many and not see the needs of me. The needs of me is, oh, how's things going at the church house? Well, I'm having a pretty good time. That ain't what the question is. How's things going at the church house? The church house is not made for just you. No, sir. The church house is made for God. And if we come to God, we need to worship God in the spirit and truth and not be concerned about poor little old me. Philip did not have an answer, but God had the right question. They were hungry. They had a need. He asked that question before they ever found out the boy had the lunch. He asked that question. How are we going to do this? Before anyone ever said, I'm hungry, he knew they were hungry. Before the lad ever had his lunch brought, said, there's a lad here that's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Before that was ever brought up, he knew. And before anything was said about 200 penny worth of bread, That's about all the money we can get. 200 pennies. What is that among so many? The Lord knew. But verses 6, if you read it, it says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now you listen. The Lord knew what he was going to do. Now you go back in a time in your life when you prayed, God, I don't know what to do. Go back there just a moment. Do you remember that feeling inside when you didn't know what to do? I've gotten a car a few times in my life, and I put that key in there and turn that switch on. Nowadays, you got them fancy ones. You just push that button. But have you ever pushed the button, turned the key, and nothing happened? Have you ever done that situation where you think, well, I don't know what to do? You go out there and raise that hood, and you look there, and you see 14 million things on there, and you say, I can't even find the battery. You know, you look at all the problems. You say, I don't know what to do. It's kind of like making a phone call 50 years ago. You didn't have one in your pocket. It's kind of like being able to say, I really don't know what to do. Earthly problems are simple. It's the heavenly problems I want you to think about for a moment. Because one day, if you die lost, you're going to say, I don't know what to do. You're in trouble then. I don't know what to do. Those disciples on that day that they were sitting with the Lord, before them folks ever got up to the top of the hill where they were, Philip was asked that question, but Philip could have looked around at those other disciples. And you know what? If we brainstorm, if we get all of our minds together, maybe we can come up with a solution. There was no solution for that day. There was no way of solving that problem. This was a problem that they could have all jointly said, all in unison to the Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I have seen folks that I have talked to that's lost their loved one that would say to me, I don't know what to do. If you lose your spouse, sometimes you'll say, I don't know what to do. If you was Moses and you went to the riverbank and the water needed to depart real quick because the enemy's right behind and all you got is a stick in your hand, if the Lord hadn't told you what to do, you would have said, I don't know what to do. But God provides a way. And that way to Moses was just a stick in his hand. Now, friend, we can look and we can see the boys' lunch was a great and huge thing. Oh, man, what would they have done if they hadn't had the lunch? If they hadn't had the lunch, God knew exactly what he was going to do because he already had a plan for the hungry. He has a plan when me and you open up the cupboard and nothing's there. He looks at people like the woman that had that young boy that's going together their last meal, gather them sticks and have their last meal. God had already been working on a plan a long time. God has a plan for the hungry. He've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed making bread. God has a plan for every one of us. You can't figure out to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. There's no grocery store around here that can handle 5,000 folks in one moment of time. Much less the money. Much less the means. Look at the problem. And the only answer to the problem was Jesus.
Listen to me. How many thousands and thousands of folks have problems all the time? And here's what Jesus did. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." You know, here's the next part. He said, "I've got to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and I'm going to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also." You know what God is doing? We're saying, "I want to go to heaven." God's working on a place for you. God sees your need before you ever see your need. God working on me a home in heaven. I may not have a home down here, but I got one on the other side. There ain't no mortgage payments on a home on the other side. There may be payment down here, but there ain't one on the other side. I got news for you. God's already seen the situation and He has prepared a place for me over there. See, He may ask the question, but He already knows the answer. I got news for you. There's one day, the Bible says that whenever we leave this world, that God is going to prepare His table for all of His children, and we're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I ain't figured this out, but let me just put it to you in old country boy English, all right? You got this big old table, and at the head of the table is going to be the Lord. And on the sides of that table is going to be chairs. And I'm going to sit in one of them chairs. How do you know you're going to sit? Because God has prepared a table before us, even in the presence of His enemy. I want you to know God's got a table for me at his table. And I got a seat. And you know what? He's preparing that ahead of time. He got me a home. He's got me a chair to sit at His table. And I didn't even really realize I was a-going until He asked me the question, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Now you know what them disciples learned on the day that they sat with Jesus waiting for them folks to get up the hill? What are we going to do? We need to learn to trust Him in everything that we do. We're not going to have to worry about a changed body. He's the one that does the changing. We ain't got to worry about a home in heaven. He's the one that provides it. We ain't got to worry about sitting around the supper table. He's the one that's already taking care of the table right now. What me and you have to learn to do is when Jesus asks us question, "What are we going to do with all of these folks?" We need to say, "Lord, You're in charge. You are in charge of the situation." Let me share with you this. By faith, when Jesus resurrected, by faith, I was there. Now that don't make sense. But when I read it in the Bible, when I read it and it happened, by faith, I put myself there. By faith, I know Jesus resurrected. By faith, I can go to Calvary's cross and see Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. By faith. And by faith, I get to go to heaven. It's not me believing in me. It's me believing in God. When I sit around and let Jesus speak things that maybe I don't have an answer for, God already has an answer. Watch this.
faith is the substance. What if the Bible said, well, faith was the substance back in the old days? Or faith will be the way in the future. Friend, my Bible says faith is. That means it's presently working right now. I live because of when I sat around with Jesus, I know He's in charge. Let me hurry. Listen to this. When Jesus got the food and they did all that distributing of the food and there was baskets of fragments left over and all those things, many, many folks were filled that day. We call it 5,000 if you read it. But many folks were filled that day. They took up 12 baskets of fragments and all those wonderful things. But when the disciples sat around with Jesus, they had no idea what they were going to be doing in the next hour or so. They had no idea. They didn't realize all them folks was traveling to hear Jesus. They didn't realize that they was going to be around the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we'll call it. They never realized. They just knew that they were spending time with Jesus. Now let me ask you this. Are you spending time with Him? Do we really? You know what? A lot of time we come to church, we've got to hurry. We got this planned. We got that planned. We've got to do all these things. When do we really spend time with Jesus? When do we say, Lord, what are you going to do next? Because when Jesus told the disciples to do certain things along the journey, every one of those things, go, can you? And one of them said, well, there's a lad here that's got these loaves of bread and they got fish. That meant they were all searching. Friend, whenever it comes time, when do we spend time with the Lord? Christmas time is a busy time, isn't it? We got all these functions, do all these things, do all the gifts to give, all those things that we do. And when Christmas is over, it's like, whoo, man, I'm glad it's over. I got news for you. Why don't we spend time with Jesus prior to Christmas? Why don't we spend some time thanking God for what He has done for us? Little did we know when all those people come up that hill, those disciples had precious time sitting with the Lord. You can't go back and do that over. You can't wish it back again. There's loved ones that have passed on I'd love to spend a few more minutes time with. If I could just ask them a few more questions. That ain't the way the Bible works, though. I'm glad they're not looking down. I'm glad they get to enjoy what's on that other side. A friend of mine, one day we'll be able to be gathered together again. But not right now. Right now, we just get to sit around with the Lord and let the Lord tell us what we're going to do next. You, my friend, you can sit with the Lord today. If you've never been saved, you can be saved today. If the Lord was to ask you, said, "Hi, are you going to heaven or hell?" What would be your answer? What would be your answer? If your answer would be, "I'm not sure," then friend, you got the wrong answer. Because when you've been born again, you know you're going to heaven. And if you don't know today, then hell is going to be your home. When Jesus said to Philip, "What in this world are we going to do? How are we going to do what we're doing here? Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" That was a question that he had no answer for. And I'm glad
sitting around with Jesus will show you your problems. You have many, but Christ can solve them all if you'll come to Him. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. When you come to Him, He will give you life. When you know Him in the free pardon of sin, all of a sudden you have faith in Him and Him alone. Let's stand to our feet and sing a verse of a song that God, well, if your God's dealing with you, that you'll know Him before you leave this building today. Know Him in the free pardon of sin. Know what it means to pass from death unto life. Know Him today. Know Him tomorrow, because if you don't know Him today, tomorrow may be eternity.